This is Mythical.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I sure am nuts for donuts.
And I'm donuts for nuts. Like nuts.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich. Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scher.
And I'm your host, Nicole Anaiti.
And Nicole, today we are taking on the most important subject matter we have ever covered here. Because what
really?
Is the number one problem in America?
I think there's a lot of division within the nation right now. I think it's causing a lot of stress and difficult times ahead because the unity is just gone.
No, that's stupid. It's when you walk into a donut shop, you don't know which one is the best. And what is the solution to all of America's problems? Podcasts. Oh. So we're going to tell you.
I was going to say my TikTok clips of podcasts.
I will say correlation is not causation, but if you were to graph.
I learned that in law school. I didn't go to law school, but David learned that in law school, and I learned by osmosis.
You can't say that you learned it in law school if your husband, who is going to law school, just told you it. That's like saying I went to Harvard because, like, someone at a bar yelled at me and they went to Harvard.
Is anyone going to fact check you about it?
No. Correlation is not causation.
Yeah,
but
law school.
The number of problems in the nation and the number of podcasts seem to have a positive correlation.
Keep going up.
They just keep going up.
Keep going up.
But we're here, just two podcasters, arguing about what the best donut is.
I'm not a podcaster, and neither are you.
We really aren't, though. We're people
who
podcast.
We have so much other things other than... We contain multitudes.
Podcaster is a slur.
I don't think so.
Oh, my God. It is... absolutely.
Well, when you meet someone and they're like, I have a podcast,
I spit at them. I spit at them like a llama, like an ibex, like a tit. Get out of here, podcaster.
I love an ibex.
No, mine's actually... Get out of here.
Mine gets like... I do ads.
I'm sponsored. Donuts. Donuts. What are your thoughts on donuts? You said you go nuts for them earlier.
I don't really like donuts.
I thought that. You lied right to the people's faces in the first minute
of the
liar.
Podcast. That girl's a liar. Sorry. I guess we're just in a silly, goofy mood.
Everything in America is getting worse.
Why are we so silly today?
And I think the data would verify that.
Why are
Music is getting worse? That was the number one song for a long
time. It's a good song. Have you ever danced to it like how I dance to it? If you just move your body the way I do, it's a pretty good song.
I've never done that. No.
Oh, but donuts. I don't search out a donut. Often, when it comes to, like, the canon of desserts. Cheesecake! Sign me up. I'm taking a big old spoonful of a cheesecake. But when it comes to donuts, like, Krispy Kreme donuts has never, like, enchanted me.
Mm.
Or, like, things like that. The one... I'm going to save this for later and tell you what my favorite one is. I'm going to tell you right now. But I do like a filled ethnic donut.
A filled ethnic donut?
What is an
ethnic donut to you? As an ethnic American woman, what does that
I like
mean?
Pon cheek.
Oh, interesting.
So
are the poles? No, pon cheek is Armenian.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the most beautiful, like, yeasty, yummy donut. And they fill it with this eggy, stunning custard. Mm. And it's warm on the outside. Well, when we get it. So my dad really loves them, actually. It's my dad's favorite, aside from Napoleon's. Cream-filled Napoleons.
Mm.
But, like, he loves custard-filled pon cheeks, and we like to microwave it a little bit to get the chill off of it. And it's, like, the cream is cold and the pon cheek is hot, and it still has that, like, matted powdered sugar on it. And it's one of the most delicious foods. My mouth is watering. Like, ever. I don't like donuts. I don't like American donuts.
Interesting.
But, geez Louise, a custard pon cheek from Papillon Bakery...
Papillon Bakery does
incredible.
What you mean by ethnic donuts. Now.
Yeah, every time I go to like a like if I'm like having a Shabbat or like my sister's hosting like a party, I always bring Papillon because it's a crowd pleaser, and my dad really likes them, and I love my dad.
I love you. I love your dad too. More. Thanks. Shout out. I guess we should like define our terms here when we're talking about donuts because a lot of
Frado.
People. For, true. But a lot of people, like for our American listeners, you know, we grew up going to donut shops and you probably saw the same canon of donuts in most of those.
I didn't do that because my mom.
You're in Los Angeles. We're like one of the.
I know, but my mom was like very anti, like she was very diet culture-y. So like we wouldn't do that. One time I got a McFlurry and my mom threw it out the window.
What other childhood traumas you want to talk about? I That's always, I dump one. On you. Uh-huh. I dump my childhood traumas on you. So if you
want
to talk about.
I don't have as much as you. But that was the one. My mom was very diet culture-y, like sugar is bad, fat is bad, like bad, 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 bad. So
you never, do you remember the first time you went into like a donut shop?
Or
do you have any salient memories of going to a donut shop?
I have
shop?
No memories of going to a donut shop.
It wasn't
like
a place
pink
marked,
box.
Yeah, it wasn't like marked as sacred for you as an experience.
Not even a little bit. But what we would do is we would go to like Middle Eastern bakeries and that was it for me with like the little petit fours and like little cakes and like with like little fruit tarts. So that was more of my exposure to like going to a dessert shop and seeing all the beautiful little.
Did your mom make you get the fruit tarts that had fresh fruit in it and she said that was healthier?
Not all. I mean, we were more, what's the almond paste? Frangipane. We were more pear tart with frangipane people.
I'm sorry. Nicole grew up in Beverly Hills. She did not grow up with donuts. She had pear tart with frangipane. So if you all could just get that through your heads.
I'm just like you. No, I'm not. I know. My take
out there
is,
in Lexington, Kentucky.
My take is very unique, but I think that's why what makes me so special is because I'm so unique and nobody else is like me, right, Joe?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Talking about childhood trauma. My earliest donut shop memory is when my dad lived in Oceanside and my mom lived in Orange County. You can Google map it to find out how far.
Okay.
The midpoint was in San Clemente, California. And my parents, when it was time to hand over partial custody, we'd meet outside of a donut shop next to the Denny's in San Clemente, the one that's off the freeway, the 405. You know what I'm talking about.
You know the one.
You know the one. Old faded sign just past San Onofre, the power plant that looks like boobies. And then you drive past.
Oh,
and
yeah,
go,
the
boobies.
Boobies.
The boobies.
Yeah,
the big
yeah,
boobies.
Yeah, sure.
You got blinking little lights on top. And anyways, we would do the handoff with the kids at a donut shop. And I would always walk in and I'd get a donut. And then my parents would argue about who had to pay. You didn't pay child support. So you get the donuts, you know, that whole thing. So what I'm saying is I associate donuts with comfort. And I would always get a different donut because I wanted to try it. There was one that really stuck out to me when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I would consider it a proper donut.
Maple bar.
No, that's definitely a donut. So when you talk about donuts, we've talked about this before. They're mostly two kinds. Donut generally refers to just a fried leavened dough.
Sure.
And even when you, God, is it pronounced yutiao? The Chinese, they will just call them donuts.
They put it in congee.
They'll put it in congee. They will also serve it with fresh soy milk, which is a really delight.
Yum. Yes, yes, yes.
And so people even call that thing a donut, which obviously has nothing to do with the American, you know, donut shop culture.
Sure.
But any sort of fried dough here.
Yeah.
There's cake donuts, which are a batter that's baked and then fried. And we did figure this out.
So it's baked.
They're baked in a mold and then they're fried.
So we were both right.
We're both right. They're both a cake and a donut. But anyway.
Who says we can't get along?
So the donut that I always gravitated to when I was a kid because I thought it was like fancy and cool and I still Bubba, get it.
You got it.
Get it. Okay, cool. The donut that I always gravitated towards when I was a kid because I thought it was fancy and cool and very Epicurean.
Okay.
Apple fritters, dude.
Ooh. Ooh.
Dude, a dense. And I'm not talking about like, so bear claws, some people will call
what
an apple fritter.
Claw?
Some people will call an apple fritter a bear claw. Apple fritters, I'm talking about, they are dark, they're dense, they're gnarled and knurled.
Yeah.
Filled with actual apple chunks that probably came from a can. And they're deep fried and they're heavily caramelized, super sugary. They're twice as dense as any other donut.
Is a bear claw with almonds?
I believe a bear claw is a donut that is leavened dough that has marks in it like a catcher's mitt almost. And then it is most often filled with apple.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
So it looks like a catcher's mitt. We're
looking at a
Google image right now.
Almond paste. See, frangipane. Almond paste.
Interesting.
But... Ooh, fancy Nicole with her pears and frangipane. That's just a bear claw, bro.
Bear claws aren't. The Google says it's often filled with almond paste. The donut shops I was
usually,
going to.
It doesn't say often, it says usually filled.
I don't know about usually filled. You measure usually the amount, filled. The total amount of bear clawage in the United States, no, usually there's not going to be above 50%, are filled with almond paste. God, they cost $1.79.
Okay, so do you know how high of a concentration of Germans live in the U.S.? A lot. a lot of them, especially in the 50s.
Do Germans love almond paste?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah?
Almond paste is a very, like, European thing. It's
not European. I would
Germany's consider, in Europe.
I guess Austria, like, invented a lot of the modern pâtisserie.
Yeah, why are you being so weird with it?
So, yeah, that's interesting. Croissants were invented in Austria. Likely.
Yeah, that's why
they call it viennoiserie. The general canon of laminated pastries in France.
It's easy.
Called
Just say, Nicole, you were right.
Okay. Everyone grew up eating Frangipane almond tarts. You're so normal. You're right. But as I've gotten older, and given your answer of the ponchique from Papillon Bakery, I think you and I have the same King Donut in mind.
Are you going to say Sufganiot?
No.
Because that's not my favorite.
It's one of the donuts that comes from a common
Boston
American.
Boston cream pie donut.
Far and away the greatest donut of all time.
I haven't had one in a really long time, so I actually don't remember what they taste like completely.
Dude.
I'm sorry.
I'm so mad that we don't have these in front of us right now.
Oh my God, happy about it.
Like the Dad's Donuts, which in Burbank, California, they do a great Boston cream pie donut. That's a bummer, but it's perfect. And it has to be custard, not cream.
I see.
I firmly believe I just got back from New Orleans.
Everybody knows. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows that.
I bought an ankle bracelet.
Everybody knows that, too.
I took a bunch of Jell-O shots.
Yeah, you talked about it in the last
Another
podcast.
Thing I did is I ate a bunch of fried dough because beignets are
very common. Beignets, yeah.
I went to Café Beignet. I went to Loretta's. I went to Café Dumont, which was Café Dumont. I just waited in line at like 45 minutes, like 7 in the morning, drinking the coffee. Julia was still asleep because I'm an early riser. I was like, let's walk a mile. And it was just... It was bad, like straight up. It's a tourist thing. I was glad that I went, you know, but literally nothing about it was good. Also, just a funny fact about Café Du Monde. There's like a series of benches, maybe a couple hundred yards away that overlook the water. A lot of people take their beignets in a bag and they go eat the benches. There's a man who is paid to come wash away all the powdered sugar that drops underneath the benches. And I saw him do that. And then somebody was like, why are you doing that? And he's like, the birds will eat the powdered sugar and die. So that's a funny little local
economy story. God bless. God bless.
Point is, I ate a bunch of fried dough, and beignets, a lot of people are like, they're the lightest, they're the best, they're whatever. It's most fried dough is damn near the same.
And it's always good.
And it's always good. Yeah. But then you start really figuring out what the best is. And I have decided that there's one best iteration of fried dough that has ever existed in the world.
More than Boston cream pie?
Well, so. Mm-hmm. It's a Krispy Kreme original glazed donut.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think, from a culinary perspective, straight up, you look at the dough structure,
yeah,
the crumb.
Perfect.
You look at everything, yeah. And I'm not just doing this to be like an everyman. No, I've become like a real bougie piece of crap. I just ate a Cheeto in the kitchen, and just went, ugh, tastes so artificial. So I'm at that point in my life now. Krispy Kreme, I still love hot Cheetos. Krispy Kreme donuts, I think they figured it out. It's the lightest.
It's consistent and it's delicious.
The glaze dries to the perfect level of hardness.
It's perfect, yeah.
The rest of their donuts are not good. You put anything else on it and it kind of...
Do you like old-fashioned donuts? Because that's my second favorite.
Wait, can we go back to Krispy Kreme real quick?
Yeah, sorry. Just
go back to Krispy Kreme?
Of course.
No, I do want to talk about that. Krispy Kreme, if you get a Boston cream pie donut from Krispy Kreme, it's filled with a cream filling, not custard.
Which you don't like.
Which I don't like. But even if they filled that with custard, I think it wouldn't be as good because the dough wouldn't have the same integrity.
Sure.
You put a chocolate frosting on it, that's like fine enough. It's still good from there. But anything else that requires a heavier coating than the glaze, you're putting
strawberry
toppings on it, all that. Krispy Kreme is never as good. But the original glazed donut
is really good.
The single best iteration of fried dough. Nothing is lighter. Nothing has a more perfect texture on that first
bite. It is really special.
I don't even want it fresh out of the fryer. I want to sitting out to let it like air dry that glaze a little bit more.
Yeah.
Oh my God, they rule.
It's really good.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
if I were to go to a donut shop, like a regular, like a LA pink box place, I'd find myself gravitating towards the old fashioned ones. But yeah. I don't know why. I think it's because they look a little craggy and silly and they're not perfect. They're fun. So maybe that's why I picked them.
Describe an old fashioned donut to people who don't
know. Is it sour cream or buttermilk?
It can be either.
Okay, so it's just a donut made with sour cream.
My favorite in LA is a buttermilk old-fashioned.
Yeah? From Sidecar?
No, it's a spot called Primo's. Old school.
Yeah.
50 years old spot, but
yeah, I just love the the crumb of an old-fashioned donut is so luxurious and unctuous and delicious.
Is an old-fashioned donut yeasted or not?
I don't know.
I don't think it is, dude. Hold on. Is an old-fashioned donut technically a cake donut? So an old-fashioned donut, if you've ever seen the donuts that, it's not a cruller. We'll get into that because I'm fascinated by certain things within the donut industry. But an old-fashioned donut, it typically has these sort of ridges around the end. It's stamped into a circle, but then you see this almost like creste de gallo.
Yeah.
It's like a rooster's, a coxcomb on the donut,
sure.
Right? And so it gets these craggly edges. They'll typically put, like, sometimes there's a sour cream glaze on or whatever. But they'll put a sugar glaze on it, and then it almost gets into the crags, and the crags become extra crispy. Hold on. 19th century recipes for old-fashioned donuts are made with yeast, but modern donut shops, an old-fashioned donut is usually a cake donut.
It's beautiful. And a glazed old-fashioned is really good. But I don't like chocolate old-fashioned.
Me neither. What chocolate donuts?
Oh, I have one.
Do you like? Like, you like a chocolate cake donut?
Very rarely do I like it, but I used to work at this chocolate shop, and we used to do a chocolate stout.
Oh, that's fun.
And it was it was a cake donut, and then we would put a really beautiful like vanilla chocolate glaze, like an icing, and then cacao nibs on top. And that was pretty fun. Oh, sorry, I said that for and that was pretty good. But yeah, no, not really.
I'm starting to realize I might have like a holy triumvirate of donuts here.
What is a triumvirate?
A triumvirate. Maggie, Google triumvirate. It's like a ruling party of three, right?
You could just say trio, I feel like. You could have just said like
trio. Yeah, but this is the beauty of language. Triumvirate in ancient Rome, a group of three men holding power. Like, I don't understand why this difficult.
Like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the office of triumvirate. So anyways, my holy triumvirate of, you know why I like it? It's because it's hyperbolic.
Is that a word? Do you have like a calendar where it says word of the day is blank? And
no,
you have...
if you want to get me one though, that'd be pretty cool.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're quite resplendent.
You were saying? Sorry to interrupt you.
I think it's a triumvirate for me because I was very convinced that the Boston cream donut with the custard filling is my perfect one. And I still do love that, especially when the custard's like cold. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But the Krispy Kreme, that light, that perfect, that quintessence of what a donut should be.
Sure.
But then also that really dense, buttermilky, old-fashioned, there's nothing that hits like that.
Wow, it's so good.
Especially with coffee.
Wow, it's so good.
The dense pastry stays in your mouth.
Yeah, hot black coffee with it.
Black coffee. It's like, ooh, did someone put a half teaspoon of salt in this? Why does it taste like that? That's what I want.
Yeah, I know.
That's what you get at Primo's, baby.
Me too. You know, when I was growing up, I always thought donuts had to be like that big pink Homer Simpson-y donut.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had one and I said, meh.
Yeah,
it's not
that good. That's the pink donuts are a trap.
Yes.
Iced cake donuts. Let's just run through some donuts right here.
Okay.
Because you got like your iced cake donuts, which to me are always just fine. It's never what I want.
Yeah.
Then you got the iced yeasted raised donuts, also never really what I want. Chocolate icing, perfectly fine. Chocolate icing on a glaze is good.
What about powdered sugar donuts?
Out.
What about sugar donuts? Have you ever
had donuts? Kind of out.
Sometimes. I don't know why. I feel like a little French girl.
Ooh, the sugar's on my little hands, mommy.
I feel like a little.
Oh, the sugar is on my little hands.
Mama, oh, the sugar is in my hands.
Oh, mama, stop blowing that cigarette smoke in my face.
Mama, I do not want one with my dinner. Please.
Oh, mama, there's a little rat under my hat and he's telling me to burn things. You know how the French are. But anyways, no, I hate sugar donuts. Even, I was thinking about churros, which people could consider a churro a donut recently.
I love churros.
Well, hold on. We got to get to that. Wait, give me a sec. We got a little bit of a segue.
Speaking of ethnic donuts, I love churros. You know, Costco. Hold on.
Go.
Costco is discontinuing their churros. Did
okay,
you know
now
that?
I go. So
I just made a bombshell statement. You don't even care.
Are Costco churros even churros?
What are you talking
so
about?
So most of the churros that I think if you go to like an amusement park, right, they're like 3 foot long hard sticks covered in sandpaper sugar. If you have like an actual Spanish or even an actual like Mexican churro that's been like cooked for you, Yeah. They're so worlds apart from the freezer aisle.
Like the Spanish circular ones where you dip in hot chocolate. Those are different.
Yeah. I mean, even like Mexican churro, you know, same style. And it's like a very intricate, light dough. And then
pâte à choux.
It's pâte à choux. Yeah. It's choux pastry. But then you go to Disneyland or Costco or whatever, and they're churros, like a baseball game.
It's like there's a dill pickle filled in it.
It's just, they're hard. They're great. It's like a salt lick is to a deer. As me is to this churro. I'm just gnashing at it with my teeth throughout 9 innings.
I have one question. One more churro question. Why are you so tired?
Because I feel like I was talking about something and I lost my place.
I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead.
It'll come back to you. Back. What was that one place? It's like a fast food restaurant that had churros that were stuffed with stuff.
Was it Jack in the Box?
Was it? Was it stuffed with dulce de leche?
I think it was Jack in the Box.
That is my... Do they still have it?
I don't know.
Can I just say that is my favorite fast food dessert of all time? And if you ever want to make it on fast food, I would freaking love that.
I feel like Jack in the Box used to have stuffed churros.
I don't know. Anyone? Someone write in the comments. Continue. I'm so sorry.
Krillers.
I don't care for them.
What is a kriller to you?
It's like an old fashioned, but it's a little bit more tame. Like
what's the dough on a kriller?
I don't know.
Well, no, this is why I ask, because we're talking about like the actual cookery of certain donuts, and I'm fascinated by what American donut shops have done to these names. They kind of did a little bit like what Starbucks and Chipotle did, where Starbucks is like, this is a macchiato. And you're like, how's that different from a latte? And they're like, it is not. And then you find out like a real macchiato is a real thing.
Yeah.
Or at Chipotle, when they call it like carnitas, and it's just kind of wet pork. And then you find out the carnitas is an actual thing. That's how I found out what an eclair was and what a kruller was.
So do you, when you think of krullers, do you think of a circle or do you think of a long pastry?
I think of a circle, but that's been piped through a star tip to give it ridges. So to me, a kruller is ridged.
So a French kruller is this.
So a kruller is made with pâte à choux as well, like a proper French kruller.
Is it?
It's a choux dough.
Are you?
And a choux dough is what you
pulling
like.
Pulling my chain?
No, a choux dough, you're cooking milk with flour and butter, and then you add egg to it when it's cooled?
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's pâte à choux.
And then you have to pipe it while it's still warm but pliable. Mm-hmm. It's like a really intricate dough to do. I remember I tried making it for home ec class when I was 12 and I royally screwed it up.
You had home ec class?
Yeah, so all the dudes were taking wood shot from a basketball team and I was like, I'm going to make lasagna in home ec. And I did. I'm like, I'm going to meet girls. And I was like, oh, I'm too scared to talk to them. Anywho,
I'm sorry. I just totally disassociated. What did you do? Did you talk to a girl? Is that what
you
said?
No, I was scared of him.
Of girls?
Yeah.
You were scared of girls when you were 12?
I thought I was undeserving of love because I wasn't messaging my whole life.
Aww.
You know?
But you're okay now. You're 31.
Yeah, and I have no problems. Anyways, let's think about donuts again.
What
so you go to an American donut shop and you can find an eclair, which is made with choux dough.
I like
eclairs. You can find a kruller that is made with choux dough, except they're just made with normal-ass donut dough.
Mm-hmm.
So an American donut shop eclair is a Long John donut, which is just a bar. And then it is filled with custard and iced with chocolate. So the same thing as a Boston cream donut, they were calling an eclair, at least in the shops that I would go to when I was a kid.
Okay.
That might be the only one that can compete with a Boston cream because easier to eat, phallic, long foods that fit in your mouth.
It is phallic.
Are better.
Better?
I think so.
Hmm.
I'm a fan.
Okay.
And krullers are the same thing. They would just be made with braided donut dough, which is what you found when you Googled.
I like krullers, but I don't love them the way that I love an old fashioned.
Let's talk about fancy donuts.
Oh, I was just about to
talk
about
new school donuts.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of new school donuts doing cool things.
Blue Star Donuts had this beautiful donut. It was a passion fruit glazed yeasted donut with cayenne pepper, honey.
Was it really good?
Oh,
it was good?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, I think passion fruit is one of my top three favorite fruits. Again, very relatable young woman. And I, like, whenever I would, like, I bake.
Mm.
I used to bake a lot more than I do now. But I used to make, instead of lemon curd, I would make passion fruit curd.
That's a good curd.
So I would always like gift people jars of passion fruit curd. I would make passion fruit tarts. Or
you use fresh passion fruits for it?
No, I would have to. Well, sometimes I would, but I would prefer to use a passion fruit puree from Surface, from a French company. 16 ounces cost me about $50. So I had to stop.
You had to stop.
I had to stop.
You know when you have to stop your passion fruit addiction because it's been costing you too much money?
Too much money. But passion fruit, especially like curdy, icingy, like these beautiful like expressions of passion fruit with a little bit of cayenne pepper just sitting on a pillowy, gorgeous, fresh donut was one of my favorite culinary experiences. I actually went, friend of the show, Mitchell Frieder, and I, with two other students, went to Blue Star Donuts together because he wanted to open like a little donut shop with us. I don't know if I signed an NDA, sorry. And we just sat there and we tasted like 15 donuts together.
That's a fun time.
It was a fun time.
I feel like, to me, I remember the fancy donut boom. Blue Star from Portland was a big one. Sidecar Donuts from Orange County was
a
big one.
Did you ever have the egg one, the Eggs Benedict
there
one?
They have a, I love it. It is a savory donut and fried dough is a great savory application, but it is a savory unsweetened fried dough filled with a poached egg.
So crazy.
Some sort of ham product. It's probably prosciutto. Mm-hmm. And then a basil hollandaise.
Wow.
And I remember eating that donut. And that is a special donut. It's outside of the canon of normal donuts, but I ate it. And basil hollandaise just went right into my crotch when I was driving in Santa Monica, California. But they had a bunch of really cool inventive donuts. I am all for a creme brulee donut. It's a great idea. You fill a donut with custard. Oh. You torch the sugar so it's glassy. That's fun.
That is
lemon meringue donut. You fill it with lemon curd. Like, little ways to improve the old canon of donuts. Because you could always get, like, the kind of, like, gross, just goopy lemon-filled donuts that are, like, fine. But you make, like, a proper lemon curd. You put a little bit of meringue on top and torch it. Like, that's an awesome donut.
Wow.
You know, but I feel like 99% of the time, these fancy donuts are bad. They had a margarita donut at Trejo's Donuts.
But let me tell you, a creme brulee donut is pretty damn good.
It's pretty damn good.
For new school donuts, that's probably my top one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw out an international donut real quick.
Throw it.
Shout out to Cook Sisters from South Africa. It's a there's two kinds of Cook Sisters. So Cook Sisters is we didn't go into the origin of donuts. I think people are sick of the food history for me. But I believe it's a Dutch invention originally called oil cook.
I've never heard
and
of it.
And cook is how we got the word cake, I believe. It's K-O-E-K.
Okay.
You know, but anyways, I went to South Africa and they have things called Cook Sisters. And they're, you know, cake sisters. And the like white Dutch Cook Sister is a normal ass kind of fried dough donut covered in sugar. And there's like two pieces and you pull them. Or they're intertwined or something. But Cape Malay Cook Sisters. So Cape Malay are people that generally descended from India. I believe it's actually Malay, maybe is the region. Don't take my word for it. But they've been in South Africa for hundreds of years and very much developed their own food ways. A lot of it rooted in a lot of different Indian cookery. But they have their own version of Cook Sisters that are these like dark, spiced, molasses-y fried dough balls that are like almost swimming in a syrup similar to like gulab jamun. Which if we're talking those donuts, if that's
those are the best donuts.
Gulab jamun. But it was really cool to see the sort of Cape Malay, somewhat Indianified version of the Cook Sisters donuts that had all those incredible warm spices that we might associate with masala chai or something.
Wow.
That was a great donut experience.
Wow. California donuts, ube donuts, panda donuts, matcha donuts.
Mochi donuts.
Mochi nuts. I like mochi nuts.
I love a mochi donut. Fried mochi. You got a nice chew to it.
Yeah.
That's good. The cronut. I love a cronut.
Love a cronut. I love the construction of it and the ideation that went behind it, but sometimes they're hit or miss for me.
So cronut invented by Dominique Ansel. Trevor used to work for him. But when that happened, he was sending cease and desist to anyone calling anything a cronut.
Wow.
He couldn't stop people from layering croissant dough and frying it, but he could stop the usage
from
of the name.
From calling it.
So local donut shops, they took it upon themselves to, you know, they'd call it a dosant instead of a cronut. But I'll never forget, SK's Donuts, and I believe Hollywood, called it a scronut. And there is nothing more appetized to this gobbler than a scronut. And that's my official answer for best donut.
He is donuts for nuts.
They call me the scronut gobbler. Nom, 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 gobble your scronuts.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm nuts. Okay, all right, Nicole, what the hell are these on my head? We've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky opinions are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Donuts.
You're so cheeky.
You cheeky little monkey. Well, Nicole, it's time. Did you know that a minx is an animal that you
we
can turn into a coat?
We talked about this already.
Do you know that your favorite segment and everybody's favorite segment is called Review or Review?
I love this. It's the best part of my whole day.
Now who's going nuts for Review or Review? So what happens? People review us and we review them, influencing you to go review us on Apple Podcasts.
It's a trick.
We got the alias 5 stars. It's very long, so I'm going to speed read it. Fun for the whole family, almost. Just a fabulous experience every week, spending time with Josh and Nicole, learning about the history of food, hearing amusement anecdotes, and the odd special guest is a must for my family, except for my ex-wife. We were so happy in the beginning, always laughing, spending quality time. Then you came along. I thought your little program was irreverent and cute, but my wife didn't appreciate the prurient jokes and inane banter. She let it go for the most part because it was innocent enough, until the discussion turned to the title of your podcast. She insisted that a hot dog was not a sandwich and would not hear any idea otherwise. It all came to a head when you declared that a hot dog was a sandwich and ultimately agreed with me. Besides bad grammar, people who put up Christmas lights before Thanksgiving and mangoes and everything, she despised me being right. This was the straw that broke the camel's back. She could live with Die Hard being a Christmas movie, and she accepted that we landed on the moon, but this was too far for her, I guess, because she divorced me the next day. My kids and I still love listening to you. Keep up the good work. No notes.
I'm gonna give that 3 stars. Overshare.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say 4 stars. Pretty well written. Love the usage of the word prurient.
I googled it. It means voyeuristic.
love the fact that you still have a relationship with your kids. That's important.
Proud of you for that.
Yeah, ultimately, don't trauma dump on us.
We'll do the trauma dumping.
We do it to you.
That's our job.
And that's the relationship that I like to have. I'm kidding. Please trauma dump. Use our Apple Podcast review page as a diary of all the bad things that have ever happened in your life.
I use my Twitter that way.
Fair enough. Let's get to that first opinion.
Hi, this is Sunny from Kansas City. I wanted to share one of my favorite comfort meals that I've had ever since childhood.
Chili and cinnamon
rolls. This is day-old cold rice with buttermilk and crushed-up Pringles. And I suspect that this has to do with what I used to eat when I was a very, very picky eater as a toddler when I went to India to see my grandparents for the first time, which was essentially rice with like cultured yogurt and papadum.
I wonder if she's talking about curry.
If you were to try it, I'd recommend using sour cream and onion Pringles. And I think it's a really great comfort food. Love the podcast.
So funny.
Thanks for doing what you do. Bye.
Sunny, so funny. That's...
So you say, what is it called?
So I don't know where y'all's family's from in India, but my best homie Deep, his family's from Gujarat, and they would always eat curry, which is like a very thinned out cultured yogurt. Mm-hmm. It's not dissimilar from buttermilk at all. lots of curry leaves in there, really fantastic. They would always eat that with rice, and he would eat it cold as a snack all the time. And I remember going to his house after basketball practice or something and eating that.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my mom used to make something called kete must. So kete is like a very like a dense rice where like you don't drain it. So you know how like in Persian rice, you like drain it al dente and then you steam it?
Yeah.
It was just rice cooked with water all the way through. So it was like kind of like thick and like glutinous. Mm-hmm. And then some mountain high yogurt and salt. And like that was like my food I would eat if like my stomach was bothering me or if I just like needed something to like eat.
Yeah.
That was like my dish of choice.
There's one part of your comfort meal that's really, really beautiful, right? That you, these are like very American convenience foods, Pringles, buttermilk. Yeah. And then there's like the other part of me that always see stuff like that. And I'm like, I guess this is just an inevitable cultural shift and change, right? This is what happens within diaspora. And it's great that there's free movement of peoples and we can move wherever we want.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that's like, man, are those cultural traditions just eventually going to die out to Pringles? You know what I mean?
Die out, shift.
I mean, shift. You look at...
Die out. There's books.
There's books. But I mean, we are inevitably losing a lot of significant cultural, especially foods, right?
Well,
I mean, you think about like Hawaii, right? When people are like, oh, Spam, such a Hawaiian thing. It's like, no, that's a mainland America thing that was exported to Hawaii for the same reasons that native foodways there have been being erased. They're not, you know, they exist simultaneously and because of each other.
I don't necessarily think like appropriation of food and foodstuffs for the Americanized palate is like the worst thing in the world.
Oh, no, not at all. No, and again,
it's a rad
comfort meal and, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think you adjust flavors and textures and ingredients to your own preference. And that's the beauty of living in a...
Living in America.
Living in the U.S. It's fun. No one's going to like judge. We'll judge you, but like you're not going to be judged or like seen as less than because of these food
And a lot of dope, unique foods come out of that. Deep's mom used to throw a bunch of different masalas in her lasagna and stuff when she would make it.
Masala lasagna.
Masala lasagna. Damn,
Sounds
girl.
Good.
Stuff's great.
What up, guys? I'm currently holding a hydro flask full of some dozens amount of ounces Crystal Light. I want to know, is Crystal Light going to kill me? Because I still have the palate of a 9-year-old and can't have raw water. Chemically, what's going on there? can I survive? Am I being hydrated? You're experts. Thank you.
So I never got into the Crystal Light game. I'm also not in the water talk game. I'm also not, like, I've never been a Mio person. I've never been a sugar-free crush in my water. I drink water. I don't drink a lot of water, but I drink water. And something about the Crystal Light ads, like, we're always, like, a little bit weird and, like, I don't know.
Crystal Light ads are very diet culture-y, right?
Yeah, it's very diet culture-y. Yeah, we never got into that part of it, thank God. But I just never liked it. And I'd rather just eat Country Time Lemonade, the pink one.
So what's interesting, you think about the volume here. Country Time Lemonade, you got to put, say, I'm just estimating here, but like 2 tablespoons of that for 16 ounces. Crystal Light, you're putting a half a teaspoon in for 16 ounces because Country Time Lemonade powder is sugar, right?
I love
Crystal Light, where you're asking if you're going to die. The reason you're asking if you're going to die is because it ain't sugar. It's the fake stuff.
Oh,
okay. I Googled it to see exactly what sweeteners are using. I used to drink, and up through college, I did it when I was a kid, and I stopped drinking like, I used to drink a half gallon of cranberry juice cocktail a day when I was
so
a child because I was like fruit healthy.
Did you have a
You're
UTI?
Crushing it. No, and I never did because of that. Well, it had it once, and it was non-ST. Anyways, but I at some point when I was in high school transitioned to drinking Crystal Light because like you said, I don't like blah water. I want some flavors. I continued with that through college. I would keep like an empty milk gallon. I'd fill it with water, crush some Crystal Light packets in there, shake it up, and that was all of my hydration. Are you getting hydrated? Absolutely, right? Think about just the amount of water that you're drinking. There's no amount of aspartame and a sulfame potassium, also known as ACE-K. It's the sweetener that really revolutionized Coke Zero. No amount of that is going to take away the fact that you just drank a ton of water. You're doing good stuff for you. Are you going to die?
Maybe.
We're all going to die.
Oh, well, Josh says it best. Say, we all gotta eat, and we're all, say it with me.
Well, yeah, but I don't know what you're gonna say.
You know what I'm gonna say.
Well, then we all gotta eat,
and we're all gonna die.
And it's true.
Yeah.
And so you are hydrating yourself on your way to death. Will you die faster because of the aspartame is probably the question to ask.
I don't know.
My personal beliefs say no. And I think the scientific consensus is no. We would need an actual doctor and or scientist to talk about this.
Because we're neither.
Yeah. And I think we do want to do that episode soon. So keep an eye out for that. But from what I know, there was one famous study in the 90s from the Ramazzini Foundation that linked aspartame to they said cancer, but it turns out it was just growths on lab rats. But the amount of aspartame they were pumping into these lab rats intravenously, which is not the way that we consume aspartame, was the equivalent of 1,200 Diet Cokes a day. And
poor
so I believe
babies.
They officially had to recant. Look it up for yourself, Ramazzini study on aspartame.
That's so
But I believe
sad.
They had to straight up recant and unpublish the study. But it still sent shockwaves. So people associate aspartame with cancer. There was a recent study that came out that linked it as like a potential signifier of something or other. I don't believe that's true. I also don't believe you can cheat God. And as like a probably atheist, saying God is a weird thing, but
you don't believe in God?
No, not really. I just kind of believe in vibes.
Omnipresent,
I mean?
Source.
Nah, not even a source. Just like we're here and that's good enough, you know?
Continue.
But yeah, you can't cheat God. Like you can't get blood from a stone. Something bad has to happen to you because you're enjoying all that sweetness with none of the caloric intake of sugar. Something, we all reap what we sow. Something bad is coming. It's like in the 50s and they're like, smoking cigarettes, this is cool. Surely nothing can be bad. It was like, nah, something's going to happen. So I also kind of believe that. I just don't know what the it is. But far as I know, all of the current scientific evidence points to this is just a safe thing to consume. And you are definitely hydrating. And Crystal Light Raspberry Ice is delish.
I think you're going to live forever. You're pickling your body in so much aspartame, you're going to live to be 230.
Yeah, you're basically mummifying yourself like a Imhotep. You're like a pharaoh from the inside out.
Imhotep.
Just
gonna Good be, reference.
Just gonna be
Is that a The Mummy
dyed
reference?
Dyed bright red.
That's The Mummy. That's The Mummy.
Brendan Fraser Mummy?
Yeah.
Rachel Weisz.
Ooh. Next
big,
opinion?
Big Rachel Weisz guy over here.
Hi, this is Isabel. My hot take, when I was a child, I would put lima beans in strawberry yogurt.
Oh, I get it.
I have not done it since I was a child, so maybe I should try that and see if it actually does still taste good. But, you know, I probably had a very, you know, cool palate for an 8-year-old.
I agree.
I guess.
Why do you know why? What do you mean you know why?
Lima beans, specifically the frozen ones that are no longer frozen, have this very interesting texture. It's almost like, not oobleck, it's like two steps away from oobleck. It's almost like chewing on like foam. And it's like a very specific, like, has this very specific, like.
But you're talking straight out of the freezer. You're not cooking them. You're popping
them. No. They were in the freezer, but now they're not. So they're room temperature. Because my mom cooks with frozen lima beans all the time. So when you isolate a lima bean, it has this very specific grain texture that's almost like solidified split pea soup. I know I'm getting very technical with this. But lima beans don't always, especially if they're frozen, have that funky texture like, say, a fava bean does. Sometimes fava bean is very, like, aromatic and, like very strong.
Yeah.
Lima bean is a little bit more tame. And if you and it has this like velvety, oobleck-y, split pea soupy like texture.
Ooh.
And if you pair it with strawberry yogurt, it cancels out the flavor of the lima bean, but it still is a little bit different, but it's more velvety than the yogurt. So I understand you. Where Isabel, I get it. I understand you. I haven't done this, but I know what it tastes like in my head, and it sounds really good.
I just want to advocate for more bean-based desserts.
We need to eat more lima beans.
Also more lima beans, more butter beans. I'm a big bean guy, and I think they're very versatile. When you go to the Haidi Lao hot pot, chain of hot pot spots in China, come to the States recently, they have the whole bar with about 60 ingredients that you can make sauces from. But one of the big vats on that bar is just labeled dessert. And it is a very thin soup with beans and jellies, and it's hot, and there's a whole lychee in there sometimes. And I like it.
Have you heard about people that have lima bean allergies?
No.
My brother-in-law.
With them.
My brother-in-law has a really hard. I think it's either lima beans or fava beans. If he eats them, he'll die. It's like a gene mutation. It's really cool.
Thanks so much for stopping by the podcast.
Mikey. I love you.
Hope you had a good time. I've met Mikey. He has spiky hair. That's why I called him Spiky Mikey.
Mikey, he's going to
We got new audio-only episodes every Wednesday. New video comes out every Sunday. That's it.
If you want to be featured on Opinions by Casseroles, hit us up at 833-DOG-POD-1. We love to hear your voices, and we love to hear your opinions, and we love to hear your stories, and we love to hear your drama.
I can fit this whole thing in my mouth. I know I can't.
Do
For more Mythical Kitchen.
I can do it too.
Check out
Off
our
camera.
Other videos.
Off camera.
We launch new videos every week. I'll go onto the table.
Yeah, me too. He did it.
'Kay, go for it.
I sure am nuts for donuts.
I'm just a little nuts.
I sure am nuts for donuts.
Nice to meet you, nuts for donuts. I'm Dad.
This is a hot dog. That's not what was written.
I know, it's better.
Is that better? I sure am nuts for donuts.
And I'm donuts for nuts. This is a hot dog and a sandwich, and I'm Randy Newman.
You hit me again with the
Okay, one more. One more. I messed it up. Sorry. I messed up the script. One more.
Are you recording all of this? Yeah. I sure am nuts for donuts.
And I'm donuts for nuts.
This I sure am nuts for donuts. You have to say something. Josh, stop your skiing.
And I'm just a little nuts. This is a hot dog is a sandwich.
Someone call the police.